When I wanna think of something that could lift my spirits high, think about the privilege of living in this hour. God that works so wondrously in the days of history, but I live in this age when He fully manifests in me. This is the bright age and I want the world to see. The pillar of fire has come and He's setting God's children free. This is the very hour that the prophets of old have longed to see. The age of the eagle, the time of the harvest, the rapturing season is here, can't you see? The wandering days are over, now the revelation came. The seals have been broken and the Bible came alive to me. Now I know my name's inscribed in the book of mystery, and I live in this world as a witness that Jesus is alive in me. This is the bright age and I want the world to see. The pillar of fire has come and He's setting God's children free. This is the very hour that the prophets of old have longed to see. The age of the eagle, the time of the harvest, the rapturing season is here, can't you see? This is the bright age and I want the world to see. The pillar of fire has come and He's setting God's children free. This is the very hour that the prophets of old have longed to see. The age of the eagle, the time of the harvest, the rapturing season is here, can't you see? The age of the eagle, time of the harvest, the rapturing season is here, can't you see?
Glory. Let's all stand this evening. We change over the service. Glory, hallelujah. Pray for my Sunday school class. We've begun the seven church age study. And appreciate those bringing books to help support that effort. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see You. I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see You. I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. I am lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 you are holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Amen. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. We're on middle of the week, heading toward the weekend. Downhill from here on. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here. Thank you for your happy birthday greetings all day long today. I appreciate it. 62 years. Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thunk it? But we made it. Amen. Let me get through with these announcements real quick and then we'll get started. Last Sunday, I want to thank all of you again for the effort and the work that you did. We had plenty of food, had some good friendship and fellowship. Brother Darrell had a good time, and I believe all of you did. The ones of you who came up for prayer, I hope pray that you got what you came up here for. Amen? Because that's what it's all about. Getting rid of those burdens and letting the devil have them back. Because we don't need them. Amen? It just makes rough living for us. Yeah. Amen. So we're just going to give it back to the devil and let him have a rough time with him. He's the one that gave him to us. We'll give him back to him. Amen. We have power to do that, you know. Power of prayer. Resist the devil and he'll what? He didn't say walk away. It says flee. Run away. That's the way I like to see him. I like to see him run off. All right. Also remember this coming Sunday we'll be voting. And if you don't want to have a position, you need to let Brother Terrence know. And then we'll have a few switches and changes, but we'll get with that. Sunday, remember the Valentine's Banquet next. It'll be February the 5th. It's starting at 4 o'clock. I think everybody's signed up that's couples, and we sure appreciate you coming. We're going to have a real good meal. Never had steak and baked potatoes before, so we're going to have steak and baked potatoes. So that'll be good. Just remember everybody in prayer. Last year, remember what happened? We got about 3.5 inches of snow, so it was a slip sliding time to get home. But you just pray that the bad weather won't come. We won't need none of that stuff. Amen. And then we'll have a good time in the Lord. Just remember to get to know your spouse real good, because somebody's got to unseat the Collinses back there in the back. They're holding the trophy with the newlywed game that we played, that you know about your spouse or you don't know about your spouse, and you might find out things you didn't know when you got there. So anyway, just saying. But yeah, we want to take that trophy away from them. We need to give it to somebody else. So y'all brush up on your shoe size, what colors your car, what color was your first car and your first date, what color, you understand? Just start talking about stuff like that. And I won't ask any of those questions, so. But God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Just keep us in prayer. June's doing good. She's all right. I've been staying away from her, so gargling with Listerine and washing your hands. Whew. Anyway, but we'll be glad when all this is over with, but you know, a lot of people are struggling with it still, so we want to pray for them. We want to pray for those people and make sure that we diligently pray that we'll keep it out of the church here and that we can still continue to have service. Some have been shut down from having a bunch of them in their church being out. So I talked to Brother Claude just a little bit ago, and he said some of his churches got it, and and they're struggling with it. So, he's got a little bit of older group, so they're just kind of struggling through it. So just keep them in your prayers. All right, let's turn to John 1. We're going to continue on Who is this Son of Man? This is part 16. And we're going to talk a little bit tonight about headship. About headship, and we're going to look at a couple of things that that I believe the Lord showed us this yesterday while we were studying for this, or day before yesterday. And I want you to think about something. I was talking to Brother Claude about it just a little while ago. You know, Jesus, he stood up one day and he said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Now, we know that's naturally, but why did he say that? Why did he specifically say, there's no place for me to lay my head? Think about it. Think a little spiritual about it. But something came to me. We'll talk about it next Sunday, not this coming Sunday, but not now. So I think he's got a place to lay his head now.
Amen. Amen.
John 1, verse 1, let's bow our heads. Lord, we stand here, Lord, before a group of people, Lord, that we're totally unworthy to be able to open this book. And as John wept because no one was worthy, but Lord, you appeared with a book, took the book out of the hand of the one on the throne, and someone screamed, worthy is the Lamb to open the book and reveal the seven seals thereof. Lord, we're living in that time of the revelation of the supreme headship of Jesus Christ. And it's got to be in a bride. It's got to be in the total revealing of the word. So Father, we pray that as we were discussing today, Lord, it's all right to be born again. It's all right to have a baby, but you need to feed the baby. The baby needs to mature. God is looking in this hour for a mature bride, a wife, not just a bride, a wife, somebody that knows every move he makes, and his thoughts are her thoughts and her thoughts are his thoughts. Father, you told us it could happen. And now we pray, Lord, that you would continue to help us to get to that spot. Lord, we're trying diligently, all of us, for you to have the preeminence in our life. You give us a way to do it, Father, through the message of the hour. A clear path to get to what you've already said. Father, forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes that we get knocked around all during the day, Lord, by Satan. But Lord, we know there's a tie post. We know there's a bomb in Gilead. There's a place that we can go back to. That we can say, Satan, you can't come in this place. Satan could never go in the Holy of Holies. And that's what you are today. Lord, you're in the bride. You're in the bride. The bride is the Holy of Holies. And Lord, I pray that we'll realize that and we'll take that, Lord. And as the prophet of God said, not just have a sword, but take the sword and stick it right into the heart of the devil. Father, just be with us now. Bless us. Keep us safe. Bless the ones that are sick and not here, Lord. We pray that it all come back together in you, Lord. We ask your blessings on this service in Jesus' name. Amen. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. There's a transformation going on here. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the Word. Also, let's go to Hebrews 10:5. We've been reading this, but I want to take a little bit different angle today, if that's all right. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world. Now, remember, when he cometh into the world, that means that that's the baby. That means Jesus is coming. Not the Father, not the Jehovah, not the God spirit form, but he has come down to what? A body. The Word was made flesh. These two scriptures connect. John 1:14 and Hebrews 10:5 is telling the same thing. The Word was made flesh, a body thou hast prepared me. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body. Let's read it like this. Wherefore, he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not. In other words, I don't want any of your do's and don'ts. I don't want any of your man's ideas. I don't want any denominational ideas, but this is what I want. An offering thou wouldest not, but a bride. But a bride hast thou prepared me. Amen. Amen? A bride to deliver a man child. He needs a bride here to deliver. Adam needed an Eve. And we knew it wasn't going to be sex. But we knew Eve was going to have part of it. Because Eve typed the church. And for Christ to come fulfill the Word made flesh, he had to come through flesh. And then he now is in flesh, his brother Daryl was talking about this weekend. If he's here, he can't be here in his physical body. If the world's looking for Jesus, that's fine. He's already here though, hidden in a body. Just like we were hidden in his body when he walked on the earth. Now he's hid in our body, which is the bride, the church, and he's the head of it. And listen to what the word head means. The head, metaphorically, it means anything supreme. Chief. Chief cornerstone. Prominent. Master. Lord. Head is where all intelligence is. Amen. Right. Have you ever thought about this? I know I'm kin to Brother Dale, and sometimes he says, I think a little weird sometimes. Do you know that every function of your body, there's only one organ above your shoulders. All the other organs are below your shoulders. But it's run by the one organ that's above your shoulders. And it all narrows down everything you do. What you're doing right now has to come from here through this narrow thing called a neck, and then it goes out into your body, right? I mean, look, your nerves don't go, I want to talk to my hand. No, it has to go, nerves, I want to talk to my hand. Right? So it's not external, it's all internal. And if you have no head, you have no body. I mean, if you can have a body, but what is it? It's lifeless. That's why that denominations, and I'm not talking about Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, I'm talking about denominational ideas, even that we have, can't have a head. They've rejected the head. The Bible says they rejected the head. Listen, true Christians do not reject headship. They can't. Because that's what your new birth is. Your new birth is submitting to. Now the problem is, Brother Brown said, is getting it from here to here. We gotta have head knowledge. But if that head knowledge stays head knowledge, you're just going through the motions. But listen, with a soul, you have a purpose. Good or bad. Good or bad, you have a purpose. Listen, you're predestinated for something. You didn't just come on the earth and then God made a third group of people that just whatever goes. No. You're either predestinated to heaven or you're predestinated to hell. One of the two. There is no in between.
That's right.
Amen. And we know it. We know that it's not stamped and sealed except in God's mind.
Right.
Everybody okay with that? Because remember, you come here with a choice. And because of your choice, God could predetermine what's going to happen. Amen. We all know that. But just maybe for some that's watching in online. But a body, a bride hast thou prepared me. A bride to what? Deliver a man child. That's what the Bible said. Even the woman with in the sun. What did she bring forth? A man child. It came from the church. All right. Is everybody okay with that? Even that being a symbol of Israel, what's going to happen in Israel? God's not going to have a bride per se, but he's going to have somebody filled with the Holy Ghost that's going to produce what the Bible said they would produce. Listen, every age, that's why that we were talking one time, long time ago, we've got some Methodist, Brother Dale's brother's a Methodist, and we went to a little Methodist conference thing that they asked me to speak at, men's breakfast, and somebody brought up the church ages or brought up Luther, Wesley, and 99% of the people didn't have a clue what was going on, but maybe there was 1% that did read the Bible in Revelations, where Revelations 1, 2, and 3, they showed a church and the characteristics of the church. But the more you start talking to them, the more they said, well, see, the whole thing behind it, Brother John, they knew we followed a man. And even they denied. Now, here's John Wesley, the great founder of the Methodist Church. And they said, well, we don't follow a man. Methodist. John Wesley started your denomination. Amen. One man. Right? So you see how convoluted they get when, why? Because man's ideas get thrown in. Just like when the headstone came, when the literal body of God came, Jesus Christ, he was totally misunderstood. Today he's misunderstood. For 2,000 years since he put his foot on the earth, he's not had a place to lay his head. Always had a body. No doubt he's had a body. Brother Bob, he's had a body. He's had a church age body, but he's not had a place to lay his head. He's not had a place of headship. He's not had a place to rest his head, except for today. Today, he has a place to lay his head. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on, this weekend. Now let's go to Colossians 1 verse 15. I want to thank Ryan for having two wonderful girls that are in the back now. And if they mess up, it's mercy and harmony. And they won't. Mercy just fell out of her seat. I see her. She's... I'm glad we're training people because you know what? This thing keeps going on. We got to have somebody to do the work. That's why we enjoy cross training. I love, even when I was with McDonald's and anywhere I've been, I've always loved cross training. I ain't like one person to do it because one person does it and he falls sick and can't come in. Guess what? You was lost. That's why God's got a body. A body of believers. A many membered body, not just one guy anymore. He has give himself to me and you. A part of his head, a part of his intelligence has come to me and you. Amen. Amen? That's what you have to do at the new birth. Sure, he gives you life. But that's not your adoption. That's what me and Brother Claudia, he's on the adoption series, and that's what we're going to get into. That's why I asked you to listen to that a couple of Sundays ago. Because this is what's leading. You can't go up the statue of perfect man without adoption. The headstone cannot come to the church without someone with some authority. Without someone with headship. Not being the head. No. I know we have authority. God, Christ, husband, wife. Insert the pastor in there. We know we have headship. But our headship's Christ. Even if a sister's not married or don't have a husband, she has a head. Who? Christ. Christ is her head. Man, Jezebel hated, hated Elijah. But Brother Brown said that was her pastor. If she would have listened to her headship instead of Ahab, she would have lived. She wouldn't have been dog meat. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. So in other words, a body developed. A human, mortal body. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. You got this great God. And then if you want to look at it as, and analyze it, he's coming down narrowing. He's coming down in a funnel. an upside down pyramid. He's coming down and like then what's he gonna do? He's gonna resurrect and start building that thing. We'll get to that with Zerubbabel in just a minute, okay? For in him were all things created. This is great God. Nobody can understand. Right? All things were created by him. For how can a man stand in the middle of nothing and make this that you see today? I was looking at just going down the road coming from Illinois the other day and just looking at the difference of the trees up there and the trees down here and the landscape up there and down here. And then you go out west and you look at that landscape. Who did that? Man didn't do that. We just adapt to it. But we didn't create it. God created that. And I was thinking the other day, you know, if you look at everywhere there's a river, you see greenery and there's life. Possums, skunks, deer, snakes, everything thrives around a body of water. But now something developed somewhere, sometime, God's got a group of animals that lives in a desert. That there's no water. There's places in the United States that there's only like 4 inches of rain a year. 4 inches of rain a year. And you go and look and there's plants and animals out there. That's the master builder. That's this one we're talking about right here. How are you going to understand that? Well, he's going to become flesh. He's going to become flesh and not have to talk to you with some, you know, 8 million volume book. He gave us 66 books. And it's eternal. There's only God can do that. Man can't do that. But God can. Everything in there you need is right there. And it can't, what? The Word was made flesh. Like I said before, you flip these pages real fast and all of a sudden a man stepped out. And there's Jesus Christ. But guess where we got to come from? If he's the head and he's the one he came to first, where's the intelligence? His intelligence is right here. He can't do anything this Bible says. He can't go contrary to that. But you and I can because we do it all the time. But we're heading toward something. We're heading toward headship to where he can have the preeminence. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. The spring, the fall, the winter, the budding of the trees and all the different things. That's how he exists or consists of him. Look, but watch. Narrow it down. And he's the head of the body. The church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And where did he resurrect at? Right down here, this age. He resurrected down here and then the church age began. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost fell on 120 people with headship that they were looking for. Now listen, they were under Jesus when he was alive and well. But that wasn't their head. Because they didn't have a body. There was no bride. But on the day of Pentecost, there stood 120. And that was 120 that had all these things working in their life from right here down. Amen? Amen? Because they had walked with the Word himself and they had listened to what he said. They had went to church and they had studied. A lot of things they didn't understand. A lot of things we don't understand. Amen? But the whole point is they started this thing. And that's the foundation. We're built on the foundation that the apostles and prophets gave us. Jesus Christ being the chief what? Cornerstone. To make the headstone. Gotta have a cornerstone first. Cause look, they chopped him off. They totally rejected him. This is all, this was gone. Out of here. Gone. But he come right back down here and started where? Like Zerubbabel. He started on the foundation. Alright? Same way as we'll read a quote here in just a little bit where Brother Branham, he kind of, well, he don't kind of, he puts it out there that that's typing him. But he does it in a way where nobody's going to understand it except us. But he does I'll give you the quote in just a few minutes. I thought, man, they didn't know who he was talking about. When he was talking about Esther and Mordecai, they didn't know who he was talking about. You know why? Because it was withholding. It was not for them. It was for us to understand. And he is head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Look, that in all things he might have the preeminence. When you put the head on top of the body, the head is preeminent because you can't do anything. Without, remember what I said, without that nerve going down through the head to move that finger. If there's something severed, you can't move that finger on its own. You can't use this if it's not coming from here. That's what's so interesting is, how can we do all that? Because remember, the hand's quicker than the eye. Right? That's how they do the magic tricks and stuff. But the hand's quicker than the eye. It can fool the eye. Your hands can fool the eye. But you know where it starts fooling you from? Right here. Because this is where the eyes, the nerves come, and this is where your hands come. Now look, your eyes closer to your brain. And your hands the furthest away from your brain, but this is, see, that's how God made it. That the hand of God, your eyes can deceive you, but your hands are quicker to hold what? To take that sword and jab it to the enemy. Amen. Amen? That he might have the preeminence. In other words, the what? The headship. Alright? For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Alright, let's continue on. Now, the masterpiece, Brother Branham said, let's read the red, save time. But the body was built by the word. Now watch the body. Every time you see that, I want you to think of bride, because listen, Jesus' corporal body can't save you. Didn't Brother Branham say, if Jesus Christ himself was standing right here on this platform, like he said, in a corporal body with a suit on just like I got on, that's what he said, he couldn't save you or heal you. He's already done it. But it has to come through his body. The bride was built by the word, which was the prophets. And here comes the head of it all. Jesus comes on the scene. That's what we have to go back to. We have to go back to Jesus Christ because he's the head. It's where it all originates from. That's where your thoughts originate from. That's where everything you do originates from, right here. Everybody okay with that? Jesus came on the scene. There when the headpiece was put upon it, we find in him the entire handiwork of God. When he was standing on the earth, that was the entire handiwork of God. What was it? God in human flesh. That was the handiwork of God. That's something he always wanted to be. He wanted to be in human flesh. We find in him the perfect reflection of the word. For he was the word, the fullness of the word. Listen, this guy fulfilled the whole Old Testament. They built their religion on the Old Testament. He was built in that word. And they rejected him. Right? They rejected him totally. They didn't say, well now, maybe later on you'll... No. They called him Beelzebub. They called him the prince of demons. But now again, God has the perfect masterpiece again. Who's he talking about? He had a perfect masterpiece 2,000 years ago. But he's not one again. Who is that? That's the bride. That's me and you. All right, let's go to Psalms 85:9. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him. The glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. God and man became one. Truth shall spring where? Out of the earth. Out of the earth. Not this earth down here. Oh yeah, it sure tells about his resurrection that he came up out of the earth. But out of this earth. And righteousness shall look down. Oh, I'm sorry. Truth shall spring out of the earth. Earth. And righteousness shall look down from heaven. Heaven and earth is going to kiss. What? In Jesus Christ. Well, listen, when you got born again. Come on, people. When you got born again, heaven and earth kissed each other. There was a uniting. There was a secret that man will never understand unless you're born again. You can't understand God. You can't understand why. Because you're not connected to the head. Or you might be connected to a head, but it's not the one you're supposed to be connected to. Like I was telling Brother Claude, sometimes you listen to this part, and sometimes you listen to this part. You know, the little devil that sits over here, and the little, you know, the little angel that... Why do you think they got that from the cartoons? You know why? Because they didn't just pull that out of the air, because that's what they think. That's what we, and we see the same thing. You know, you listen to this guy. Then you listen to this guy. Well, if there's two talking, one of them's God, and one of them's the devil. Okay? And if one's off the word, we know who that guy is. But remember, in the end time, though, he's going to come so close. Because you know what? Satan is going to incarnate a pope and speak through him. And the world is going to fall at his feet as he being God. When we leave this place, folks, there's going to pope stand up and he's going to do signs and wonders. Miracles. And the whole world is going to be deceived by him. Whole world! Except 144,002. Amen? Thank God we'll be gone. Thank God we'll be gone. Because you know what? It would deceive the very elect if possible. You know how I see that? We're going to be gone so it ain't possible. Amen? We're going to be out of here. The whole world's going to be deceived by this one guy. But why can't we take one guy and get revelation from him? One guy. One guy's going to deceive the whole world, but one guy's going to save your soul.
Amen.
And take you out of here.
Amen.
One guy. And they called him Beelzebub. They might call you the same thing. All right, let's go to number two. God's gifts find their place. He was a being on earth, a being of time. God actually came into time, slowed himself down, and entered a body. A real body, a flesh and blood body. Right? And he had to eat, and he had to grow. We've read the scripture where he learned by the things he suffered and being made perfect, being obedient. Being obedient? You'd think, well, he's God. How can he not be obedient? Well, he was a human. He had a human brain that he had to work through. We'll get into that maybe later on. Got a thought on that. Which means he must have a beginning, therefore he created himself a body to live in. Now what's he doing now? I want y'all to see both. Because when we say all these, he's creating a body. Well now that was 2,000 years ago in the womb of Mary. That's okay. That's the cornerstone. But the headstone to the church is knowing where you came from.
Amen.
Knowing that you're the body. He's creating himself a body. By the new birth. Created a body for himself. That by this creation, he might save the lost creation that he created.
That's right.
Say that 10 times. He might save the lost creation that he created. He created us perfect. But somewhere along the line, we lost headship. Somewhere along the line, Eve stepped out from headship. She'd have stayed under headship. She'd have been fine. She stepped out and what? Took another head. Took another idea and said, this is what I like better than this. And that's what we did. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity, spouse from my mother's womb. A liar. Doomed and on our way to hell. But God came to us. He said, I want to be your Savior. And you said, God, I need it. I need it. Because I'm lost. Because listen, you didn't just come upon this idea. Please, you didn't just come upon this idea. You didn't just say, no, you heard the word. You got condemned. There was condemnation because you had the wrong husband. You were living. Your substance was of another guy, may I say. Right? You were living under another headship, under another guy. Husband. But remember, if that husband dies, you're free to marry again. The problem is, not getting into marriage and divorce, but you got to talk about it a little bit here. But if you just divorce that husband you had in the world, now I'm not talking about natural, I'm talking about spiritual. If you just divorce him, he's still alive. And he can come back and haunt you, and haunt you, and haunt you, right? But if that dude's laying out, I'm sorry, if that dude's laying out there in the grave with 6 feet of dirt on top of him, he's not going to bother you ever again. That's why the new birth should be taught that way. That it's a dying out. It's a killing. It's bloody. Jesus said what? The kingdom of heaven is taken by what? Force. You take the sword and use that sword, kills your old husband. Put him in the, listen, put him in the grave. Don't go back and look at him. He's dead. He'll do you no good. And be married to Christ. And that's the whole plan. To save the lost creation, he had to let you get married to your first husband. Eve got married to Satan first. Remember? She was married to Adam, committed adultery, and took this man's idea and got the wrong seed. Right? She'd have stayed with Adam, she would have got the right seed. Amen? Natural. But it's also spiritual. Everybody all right? Number three. See, that's why in the Laodicean church age, we see that Brother Branham, he tells us, we read Revelations 3:14 where it says what? The beginning of the creation of God. That don't even sound right. Amen? Right. That doesn't even sound right. The beginning of the creation of this eternal person? Happy birthday yesterday. You're welcome. Where's your sister? Oh, happy birthday yesterday. Y'all born on the same day. That's pretty neat. Happens that way. Oh, Sarah was yesterday too. And so was, well, Richard Marlowe's was today. So was Charlotte's is today, right? No? Richard's was today. I want to see him again. I miss Richard Marlowe. And all the others. But when God created himself a body, he came down and lived in it. Now that's what he did with his natural body. But that's also what he did on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, he started a body. And he came down and lived in it. Listen, you can doubt all you want to, but you got to be like Peter. Peter stood up and he said, this is that. This is what we've been waiting on. For 3.5 years, this man told us these things and it just all went in our head. But now, it's so clear. This is that. And I identified it with Joel. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Amen. Boy, what a sermon. Amen. He started his church like he wanted them started.
That's right.
By the new birth. Amen. By God coming and indwelling 120 people and giving them the new birth. And then them going out and giving that message to the world.
Right.
Christendom today started with 120 people. Amen? Got to start somewhere. He came down and lived in it. That's the beginning of the creation of God. Oh, isn't he wonderful? And I keep forgetting this quote, and I'll try to bring it, but Brother Branham said, if he's the beginning of the creation, if he's a beginning, if he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, everything in between, you know what the in between is? I'm looking at it. That's the between part that puts the God and man back together again.
Amen.
Listen, we got separated in the Garden of Eden. God didn't sit up here and go, oh, how am I going to get this back together? He's like, I already got it figured out.
Amen.
I've seen the end from the beginning. I'm going to see a group of people that I'm not going to put in the first church age. I'm not going to put them in the second church age. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth. I'm going to put them in the seventh church age.
Amen.
Because they're going to be what? Be able to be spoken to in a way that not Luther couldn't do this. Wesley couldn't speak this way. Pentecost couldn't speak this way. He speaks through us exclusively. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the fivefold ministry and you. Listen, excuse me. Brother Darrell and I were talking about it. We can't make ourselves exclusionist. God will do that for you. You just be, look at God. He just was Jesus Christ, right? He just got up every morning. I'm Jesus Christ. I'm going to walk through and I'm going to do what the Father tells me to do, right? Preach a sermon, go up on the mountain, give them the Beatitudes. I'm going to get in a boat and I'm going to be tired. I got to go to sleep. How in the world could you sleep with a boat? Now that boat wasn't a Titanic. That boat didn't have like 500 people on it. It had 13. It had 13 people in it. Like a canoe. And here this thing's doing this. I'm sure it's, you know, rocking. And Jesus is just laying back there asleep. I'm sure he don't have one eye open. He's asleep because the Bible said he was asleep. Because they went back there and they said, what are you going to, you going to let us sink? Now listen, here's me and you. You got Jesus on your boat. You got Jesus in your boat. Everybody, this is free. You got Jesus in your boat. You know it's Jesus. Right? You go back there and you say, you gonna let us sink? What's the deal here? We put our faith in you. He goes up, puts his foot on the bow, says, peace be still, sky clears, calm glassy water. Right? And they still don't know who he is. They said, what kind of man can do these things? Well, God can. That's who I would have said. Only God can do that. Well, this man must be God, duh. But they denied him all the way to his death, right? Why? Because they didn't have headship. The head was there. The head and body of Jesus was there. But the headship he wanted was not over his body. Lateral. He came to show us how to live with his head on his body. So that when the church rejected him, buried him, he could raise up and say, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Why? The head and the body had united. It began the creation of God. What is the creation of God? Me and you. Amen. You and I are the creation of God. Oh yeah, mom and daddy, because of the fall, gave us our body. Kind of well-known fact. But who gave you a soul? God did. But he got marred. Because you were born on this side of the fall. There's no way for you to get back. You were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. You didn't come the way you were supposed to come. You had the wrong headship. But now that you're born again, you got the right headship. Amen. All wrongs have been made right when you get born again. You say, oh, bro, wait, tomorrow I got to go to work. I got bills to pay. I ain't got nothing to do with it. God didn't save your body. He didn't save your spirit. He saved your soul. You've got to decide. Remember the conflict between God and Satan? There's no conflict, folks. If you take your equate you out, you got to put yourself in Christ. But what do? We yield to the other, we yield to the little pitchfork guy on this side. I'm sorry, I do. Maybe y'all don't. Okay? Well, I guess you don't then. I guess I do. Y'all pray for me, okay? You love the Lord? All right, let's read Hebrews 5, verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. I thought he suffered on the cross. No. That was just a fulfillment or a culmination of what he had done the 30-something years that he lived. But during that time, see what I'm talking about when we talk about adoption? During that time, remember we read the scripture where he was on the River Jordan and he stood there and this spirit came on him like a dove and said, this is my son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Not hear ye him. But he had to be made perfect. He became the what? Author. Who's the author of the Bible? Paul? I was thinking the other day, read the book of Matthew. Read the book of Matthew and watch him write. He never was in some of those places. Matthew was not. Now look, Luke was with Paul. He wasn't really with Jesus. So he writes the book of Luke, having perfect understanding. It had to all come by revelation. But same way with Matthew. You read Matthew and you go, Matthew wasn't there when that happened. Remember Matthew was a what? Tax collector or something, wasn't he? Or that guy we don't like? God must have liked him. He needed him to do his taxes. I don't know. But you had Matthew there, and then you had Mark, Luke, and John. Now John was there the whole time. That's why he could write a little bit different. John was with Jesus the whole time. Luke wasn't. Matthew was only a certain length of time, but he wrote about the birth. The birth of Jesus was on this wife. And you know what? We believe what he said. But he wasn't there. Moses. In the beginning was the Word. We know that was Paul. But you take that all the way to Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Who told Moses that? You see how well this book's written? But listen, my point is that same person that fired that head or intelligence of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Paul, Moses, whoever, is the same person that's inside of you. Amen. There's not two people that wrote the Bible. One person wrote it, and now that one person's inside of you. Why? So he can build his body. Amen. It's really simple. But we make it so hard. Brother Claude called me today and he said he heard another preacher online saying that we don't need any teaching anymore. We've been taught enough. Well, you know what? I ain't. When you get up in the morning and you say, I've learned everything I need to learn, they are embalming your body. Hello. If you not learn something every day, well, if you do it natural, guess what? Doesn't God, listen, if God don't talk to you every day, and I'm not talking about an audible voice, but if God doesn't talk to you in something, what are you doing? Because look, the intelligence, look, my brain, I do have one, I've got a CT scan to prove it, and I have a heart. Don't call me heartless ever again. I got proof. When they did that heart cath, it didn't go out my shoulder. It went right in my heart. And thank God there was nothing there. See there? There was nothing there. But look, everything you do every day comes from right here. Everything. Everything you do every day comes from your head. So when you get up in the morning and you say, brain, we've learned all we're going to learn. We're not learning nothing else. He's going to say, lights out. Heart stop, lungs stop, y'all stop because he's done, he's finished. So if we don't need teaching, then we're dead. And we're ready to, I guess, morph into something. I know what they're saying. And I want you to see something, I'm dead serious. If you don't have teaching, you're going to be deceived. If you have manifestation, if you have people running the aisle, that's okay, well and fine. But Brother Brown said, when you jump up, he said, you better be able to live it when you hit the ground. Well, how are you going to be able to live it if you don't know it? I love Andrew Glover and the different ones that kind of gets you, you know, that's good. Gives you some bodily exercise that a lot of us need. But when you go to work on Monday and Tuesday and 2 weeks later and all that's gone and you're sitting in a pit. And all you see is the devil on all four sides. You're going to go, wah! No, that ain't going to get you out. You know what gets me out? You know what Satan can't stand? He can't stand the word. But he can't stand you living it. Isn't that what the prophet of God said? He can't stand you living it because he can't live it. He can motivate, but he can't live it. So that's what I want to understand. And that's what Jesus, he learned by the things which he suffered. In other words, growth. And being made perfect. Now that's what me and you are coming to. Didn't Jesus stand up one day and say, be you therefore perfect? Or complete? Now how can we be complete if we don't have a head? Remember, Brother Branham was the only one that could say this. He said, God is not complete without you. That's what he come for. He come to show that it wasn't just all Jesus standing there wrapped up in a package. Many people believe Jesus. Am I okay? There's a lot of people believe that Jesus was Almighty God. But like Brother Brown said, they can't get him off the cross. He died for me 2,000 years ago. But I can't help this what I do. You know what he's doing? They're pushing him back to Calvary. They're putting him back on a cross. What did Brother Brown say? I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ. In other words, the Son of Man is the one that was crucified. He wasn't talking about the Son of God. He's talking about the Son of Man. They put the Son of Man back on the cross. Why? They couldn't get him off. And put him to an open chain. That's why Jesus stood up one day. We'll not read it. We'll skip through it. Girls, you're going to have to skip through a couple of these so I can get finished. He stood up on a mountain one day. Peter, James, and John was with him. Voice from heaven. A cloud comes down. Enfolds them. In other words, they got caught up in a cloud. They got caught up in a cloud. And heard a voice that said, this is my beloved son. He's been made perfect. He's done what I told him to do. He's fixing to go die. Hear ye him. In other words, if you're going to get it, you want to play that? Hear ye him? Bing. That was not staged. But how are me and you going to make it with any less?
That's right.
Than that? And God taking you up on a mountain. Mountain. Apart, the Bible says, apart from the world. Peter, James, and John. And they got it all wrong too. Peter steps up and he says, okay, let's make three tabernacles. This is a nice place. It's kind of flat up here. Let's just make three tabernacles. Let's make a trinity. Because the Bible said when Peter shut up, they didn't see but one guy. They saw Jesus only. And then when they got ready to come down the mountain, they were in wonderment. What just happened? What's going on here? We were in a vision. We saw you glorified, the prophet of God said, because he had an aura around him. And there was Moses and Elijah. Speaking of the second coming, the prophet says. They didn't understand that. And Jesus said, look, tell this vision to nobody, because in other words, nobody's going to understand it. Until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Risen again from the dead. In other words, if you rise again, that means you died one time and you rose again. Why? Because of what Brother Brown did. He indicted this generation. For putting him back on the cross and totally denying headship. Listen, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, you can't get headship out of that. Now look, God winked at the ignorance of the people. And you know, without a prophet telling us that, I'd have a hard time with it. But you got to go back and see that their age was not the head age. Could have been the foot. Could have been the body. Could have been the arm, which was a piece. And it was controlled by the head, but you know what happened? Somewhere between here and here, there was a man's ideas got involved. There was another head come over. Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism is not in the mind of God. These denominational ideas, I'm talking about ours. These ideas that are contrary to God's word never came from the mind of God. That's what God's been working with. That's what God's been dealing with down through the church ages. What a gracious God. When the first false doctrine started back in the first church age, I'd have killed them all and started over again. Isn't that what Brother Brown said God should have done with Adam? Adam could have said, I don't want this anymore. I want you to make me another one. But see, just like me and you and God, we're inseparable. Even though the dirty things we do, we are inseparable to God if you're a child of God. Eve was a literal part of Adam. Bone of his bone. Flesh of his flesh. When you and I get born again, we're born of his bone. Flesh of his flesh. The prophet continues, life of his life. Do we have a life centered around Jesus Christ? Or are we just in the message? The biggest problem I've seen in my 20-something years coming back to the Lord, because see, I came up from the 60s, where man, they didn't know anything. There was no message church on every corner. We only had tapes, and it was just reel to reel. And you'd only get so many, and then you'd only get so many books. So you had partial understanding, but man was just like, God sent a prophet, which is fine. That's a good foundation. Zerubbabel, as we're going to read here in a minute. Zerubbabel, good foundation. Got to start somewhere. But did they take God sent a prophet and take it over here to another headship and say William Branham was our head? Yes, they did. When they said he was God, they created another headship. That's why he said they can't be two heads. He said, if you call me Jesus Christ, you've called me the Antichrist. Right? And know what he said? And I agree with him because it would have been anti-word. But he indicted the generation that was then so that me and you could have a chance to realize we're not putting him back on the cross. No, he's not dead. He's alive. He's right here, his brother. Daryl was talking about, he's here. We keep hearing that. We keep hearing. When are we going to start believing it? He is here. Hallelujah. And then you go home and go, well, I don't know if it is or not. I don't know if he's a second person, third person. I don't know if he's still in heaven. I don't know if, well, Brother Branham, he must be God. Oh, Lordy. Unless you're born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. Brother Branham, on the meanest man I know, number four, he says, Jesus' first doctrine is you must be born again. Get them, girls. That was his first doctrine. Now, what's the first doctrine you heard when you come in the message? God sent a prophet. Brother Branham says, the next quote, he says, I think maybe we're not getting them. We're getting them to a theory. Is that what this is? Listen, to most people, it is a theory. It's something new that you've got that they don't have. And see, that's not God. That's not God. The only people Jesus excluded was the religious people of the world. The Pharisees and Sadducees. I'm afraid today that too many of us are not getting people to Christ. We're getting them to a church, to a theory. Is this message just a theory? Or is it a reality? If you're born again, it can only be a reality. But if you're not born again, it's a theory. We heard that Jesus resurrected. You know that was a theory back in the first church age? That was a theory when they walked up to whoever that was, Pilate, and Pilate said, Caiaphas said, don't tell him he resurrected. Tell him the soldiers took his, or his disciples took his body and tossed it out. Isn't that what Caiaphas is saying today? You're not the body. The devil's saying today, you're not the body. Because Caiaphas wasn't the high priest of God. He might have been the high priest of Israel at the moment, but he wasn't the high priest of God because God didn't tell him that. He put God on a cross, and he will be condemned for that. We're getting them to a church, to a theory, but we must get them to Christ. He is the only one that has life. He that has the Son has life. And if the life of a man, look, that's dead, be projected in you, he will live the same life. You will live the same life he lived. That's why Christ had to die and come back on the day of Pentecost in your body, not his body. Right? Not his corporal body. His corporal body is gone. He can't have two bodies here at the same time. Everybody okay with that? Truly, Elias must first come and restore all things. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 17:8. Let's read this one quote, number six, girls. Y'all are hired. Now watch him. Now we've read this before, but let's just look at it real quick. Now when the Holy Spirit first fell on the church, it was on the eastern people in Jerusalem, right? 120. He's talking about the 120 in the upper room. That's where the Holy Ghost fell. Great signs and wonders were done by the church in the early Pentecostal age of the early church. That's down there at Ephesians or Ephesus. When Paul was alive, Peter was alive, John was alive, Luke, and all the different ones. Then the next round of apostles cycle. What'd they start doing? Taking other headship. Well, Cerinthius, Jesus was a like substance of God. Therefore, he couldn't be all God. He was a part of God. Therefore, there's a Holy Ghost in there somewhere. Because it's got to come back on you. That's two. And then the Son, Father, Son, Holy, must be three. Must be a Trinity. The next round of apostles then came in the Catholic Church. Then 1,500 years. Watch what Brother Bram's doing. He's bringing it. Then the Lutherans. Then from then on down, it's been a day where the light went out. He's talking about our day. After Luther was Wesley, Pentecost, and us. Remember the Bible tells us that it'll be a dark day, but there'll be light in the evening time. Then from then on down, it's been a day where the light went out. Remember Brother Branham when he drew the church ages? The seventh church age was totally blacked out. He said, I put a little light in there. Who's that little light? Me and you. Because really that black, listen folks, that black in the church ages is not the centers of the earth. Have you ever thought about that? That's not all the sinners. That's the religious people. The people that heard the word and didn't hold it. That's what that black part is. Because remember, what did Jesus say? He said, if that light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Amen. Think about that. Caiaphas, the light he thought he had was darkness. That was the devil talking through him. And it's been a daylight enough that you could see Jesus was the Son of God. You should repent. But the real bright light of the Holy Ghost has never shined through these ages. Now, go back to the first church age. Powerful people. Apostles walking down the road. And their shadow healed people. Silver and gold have I none, Peter said, but such as I have, give unto thee, rise and walk. The great things Paul did. All the different ones. I'm just reading what the prophet said. But the real bright light of the Holy Ghost has never shined through those ages. Why? He's talking about the headstone. He's talking about that Holy Ghost. Not the one down here. Now, they're not two. You get the Holy Ghost as a baby, remember. Baby was just born. If they don't feed it, baby die. Yet it is a baby. Yet it's a fountain. But they gotta feed it. Diaper it. Nurture it. Send it to school. Learn by the things you suffer. See, I didn't suffer much in school, but Terrence did. He's still suffering. Now, I didn't say that. Brother Boyd said that. I don't think T ever got the A's and the B's part. I think he just started at C. So it's all the way through. Okay. He's shaking his head. Just to lighten it up a little bit. But the real bright light of the Holy Ghost has never shined through these ages. Why? They've never come to full maturity. They've never had to produce a headstone or a headship like we produce. Not a different head. But look, if they take false doctrine, you and I take false doctrine, it is not the headship of Christ. Can't be. That's why it took Brother Branham to come from 47 to 63 to preach us back to where we could listen. He preached the body back together. Because it was all separated in denomination. But he brought the body back together, and then what did he do? He said, he's here. When the seals broke, that's when the headstone came. I just believe that. From 47 to 63, it's just what he's saying right here. There's just enough light for them to get born again. What'd Brother Branham say? What'd Brother Branham say? He said, go on as you are. Live a good, simple Christian life. He said, because if you do all these other things, he said, it'll twist you further away from God. Why? Because he knew there would be ideas come. Thunders. Had to be seven men. Had to be this. Had to be the virtues. Had to be this. Had to be that. Right? He said, go on and live a good, simple Christian life. Why? Because it wasn't for them. They were not to produce the headstone. The people that got the revelation of the seals later on is the ones to produce the headstone. We're the only ones that know what the headstone's about. Ask somebody, what do you think the headstone is? If they'll say Christ, they'll say, where's he at? Where was I at? Certainly the Bible said it wouldn't. As the prophet said it wouldn't. Just as sure as he said they couldn't believe because Isaiah said there hasn't been light because the prophet said. Now look. There's been enough light to know that you ought to do right and wrong. When you get born again, you ought to know right from wrong. Baby form. Okay? You're going to make mistakes. Baby knows as he gets older not to touch that thing that's hot. Right? But you might have to smack his hand every once in a while because he's still going to reach for whatever you tell him. Listen, whatever you tell him not to do, they're going to do it anyway. So the best thing to do is say, look, drive 90 miles an hour, okay? Don't go through a stop. Go all through the stop signs. Go through the red lights. Run by the police running 100 miles an hour, okay? You better never. But y'all do the opposite of what we tell you. I never did that, but y'all do. Lord, forgive me. But see, that's what we've all done. So we've all done that in Christianity. If you can't see your Christian walk in your own life, you got a problem. Good or bad. Good or bad. Usually we remember all the bad. But there is some good in there. Because God puts you here for a purpose. He puts you here to fulfill. It doesn't matter if you fulfill the first joint of your little finger. Of God's little finger. That's okay. But there's been enough light to know that you believed on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Accept him as your personal savior. Put your name on the church book. And lived the good life. But as far as signs and wonders in the direct ray of the sun shining, it hasn't been since Pentecost. Now he didn't mean Pentecost 1906. He meant this Pentecost down here. Not Azusa Street. He's already passed Azusa Street. They've done lost it. When they cabbage down, God moved on. Everybody all right? Let's go to Psalms 118. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused. Who are the builders? Preachers. Head of the church. Not the head, but a head of a church, a head of a denomination. The stone which the builders refused. Like somebody said one time, they're putting a building together and they light this one stone to get it all started. Right? And you know, as Brother Gary's a carpenter and a lot of us try to be. But you lay out your two by fours, your two by sixes, your blocks go over here, your cement. You don't start with your shingles. Most of us would like to. But if you're going to build a house, you don't buy your shingles first. Unless you want to save some money. But you don't buy your shingles. You buy your what? Foundation material. Because that's the most important. It ain't going to matter what amount of shingles you pay for. If you don't have a firm foundation, them shingles are going to fall off. I don't care if you got 30-year, 50-year shingles. Your foundation's got to be right. The stone which the builders refused. In other words, they said, we're not going to use that. We're going to start over here. We're going to start over here with the rafters for the ceiling. Isn't that what he's saying? They refused to use him. They refused the word. They refused the fullness of the word. They refused is become the headstone of the quarter. In other words, if they knocked him off over there in the top, he just said, okay, I'm going to start down here. I'm going to make it real wide. I'm going to take my blocks and I'm going to build this place. Man cannot build the body of God. God builds the body of God. Through men. Because watch this. Let's skip all the way now to, let's go to Ezra 4 verse 1. We know we read Ephesians where they're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. That's me and you. Alright, now look, Ezra 4. I want you to watch this. Now, what is this? Everybody okay? Can I take just a few more minutes? Okay. Now, when the adversaries... You don't have those, do you? Well, bless your heart. Pray for me. I'll give you some of mine. You're supposed to say, yes, I do, Brother Wade. I do. I have adversaries. You have adversaries? You live with one. So do I. Me. I'm the greatest adversary I've got. You're not. Always. Now look, this is when, what's happening? After the 70 years, everybody got that? We're going to get into a little bit, not all the 70 weeks of Daniel, but remember they were in captivity. What happened when they were in captivity, God destroyed and scattered the temple, right? Destroyed everything. Okay. And they were promised, though, that they were going to rebuild. According to Daniel 70 weeks. They're going to rebuild the temple. Right? Everybody okay? Amen. Listen to me just for a minute. Because look, we can go through. Ezra and Nehemiah was the two ones that did it. But now remember, they stopped in between. But there's a story here. Hang on. Now, when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captive builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel. This is the Lord God of Israel's temple right now. Anyway, everybody got that right here? You mind? You wash your hair? They had adversaries. Listen, they were God's people. Really, they were God's people. At this time, in the Old Testament, they were God's chosen people. And they were told that after they were going to be in captivity, God was going to scatter the adversary, and they were going to go back into Jerusalem and build a temple. They had to get an edict from either Cyrus or the other one. Help me, Bob. Anyway, there was two of them. Okay, everybody got that? Read Ezra if you want to. Give you something to do. Now, what's happening? There's a group of people that wants to build God's temple back. And there's a group of people, always, an adversary, that does not want that temple to be built. Everybody with me?
Amen.
You with me? Two groups. There's an adversary, and there's somebody doing what God said for them to do. Everybody with me?
Amen.
Are we in 2022 now?
Amen.
Okay, take this as an allegory. Everybody know what that allegory is? It's a story with an underlying meaning. This story happened 4,500 years ago. But the story is unfolding tonight.
Amen.
There's an adversary that doesn't want this temple to be completely built.
Amen.
There's an adversary that doesn't want this temple to be completely built. Because you know what? They know. They know that when that temple's built, God's coming in.
Amen.
God's coming. God's going to get into that temple. And they're going to be able to do powerful things. They're going to be in a place to where if they do get caught in the belly of a whale, all they had to do was turn and look toward the temple. And they would be saved. That gives me goosebumps. I'm sorry. Nothing else. All. What's wrong with you? All that Jonah had to do was find north, south, east, and west. Find out which way the temple was. And you know what? When he got around that seaweed and he looked toward the temple, he said, God, you promised.
Amen.
That if I could get to where I could look toward that temple, that you would deliver me.
Amen.
The next morning, he got thrown out in Nineveh, where he was supposed to have been in the first place.
Right.
Same way with me and you.
Amen.
But now there was an adversary that didn't want this temple built. But there was a group of people that was going to give their life to get that temple built. Everybody got it?
Amen.
Then they came to Zerubbabel. Well, he's the chief captain. Zerubbabel knows how to build this temple. The Gentiles didn't know how to build it. Zerubbabel had seen the temple before in all its glory. And he had a vision because they didn't have a Google. He had it in his head. He knew the dimensions. He knew the colors. He was all knowing. Everybody getting this?
Amen.
It took a man that knew how to build. Then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, can we help y'all? Can we help y'all build this thing? Because we're going to destroy it once we build it. Isn't that the devil? Let me come to church with you. Can I come to church with you? Can I help you build your temple? Yeah, I'll give you something to build it with. Look how sly they were. Look, let us build with you, for we seek your God. Liars. As you do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assur, which brought us up hither. In other words, they knew how to worship. They just didn't want that temple built. Satan will let you worship a lot. But when you start putting the blocks on top of the blocks and the mortar, faith, virtue, knowledge, all these stones of revelation that your adversary don't want you to do that. But now let me tell you something. What God will give you though. He'll give you, as Brother Bram said, prophetic insight. Watch. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel are not going to be fooled. Because they know how to build a temple. These other people don't. You have nothing to do with us. Oh.
Hallelujah.
That's pretty bold. Amen. Satan, you have nothing to hold me with. You have nothing to do with us to build a house under our God. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel.
Amen.
How bold is that? As King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Then the people of the land, watch this. They weakened the hands of the people of Judah. They got in and started saying, y'all take a few days off. We're going to have a couple of holidays going on here. Y'all take a few days off. Just go party a little while. Don't come to church. Oh, sorry. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. They didn't want the temple of God to be finished. And hired preachers against them to frustrate their purpose. You ever get frustrated? Once in a while, once in the morning, a while in the afternoon. And they hired counselors. They didn't want this house built. The devil knows one thing for sure. Zerubbabel has come to show us how to build a temple. And we have a commission from the king to build it. Amen? How you like to, I love this story. I never read it really like that, even when I was reading it. But let's go now to Zechariah. Zechariah 4 verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now if you'll realize what happened during Nehemiah's time, when in Ezra's time, they didn't finish the temple. Through six church ages, they didn't finish the temple. Right? They let the adversary get in and put a Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism in. Let a Trinity come in. Let an eternal hell come in. Let a seventh under virtue come in. Let a no Holy Ghost doctrine come in. Let a seed doctrine come in. Let this doctrine come in. What? To confound the people. And it finally came to a place to where they said, stop! Give me a sword. And give me a trial. We're going to build this temple. And they built it with a sword in one hand because the enemy did not want them to build that temple. That's why it took 49 years to build that temple. Because they had to go out there and fight. Me and you, 2,000 years. It took a sword in one hand and a trial in the other. To build this temple. But they finally got it built.
Amen.
This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? O great mountain, before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth what? The headstone. Not the cornerstone. That Zerubbabel brought forth the headstone. Not the cornerstone. Therefore with shouting crying, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. God's got no hands but your hands. And thou shalt know. Do you know tonight? And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. What did Brother Darrell say? God speaking through human flesh again. Do you believe that?
Amen.
For who hath despised the day of small things? But they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With these seven church ages. They are the eyes of the Lord. Now, Brother Ram's going to explain that with this quote, and we'll stop right here. Musicians, get ready to come when I read this quote. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. All right, let's read this right here. Number seven, the message of grace. We are all acquainted with this scripture. Now, y'all come when I get finished reading this. We are all acquainted with this scripture that reads the Bible. We know that this was during the time of the preparation of the restoration of the temple. I will restore, saith the Lord. The Son of Man will be risen again. There's going to be a body built.
Amen.
Right. And Zerubbabel was a great prince amongst the people who had laid the foundation of the building. Now I want you to put on your spiritual thinking. Now watch. Spiritual thinking, anointing jacket this morning or this evening as we think. And this great prince had determined to rebuild the house of the Lord. And when he did, he had laid the foundation stone. Now watch. As we read on further, we found out that God said Zerubbabel has laid the foundation with his hands. He also shall bring forth the headstone. I want you to notice, he never said he shall bring forth a cornerstone. Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. That wasn't Zerubbabel.
Right.
He never said he shall bring forth the cornerstone. It was already laid. He shall bring forth the headstone. And we know that the scripture says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And he's also the headstone. Now if we will think for a few minutes. Now watch. That this seventh church messenger. Boy, he just pops it right in there. This seventh church age messenger, now we know who that was to restore the faith of the children back to the fathers. In other words, rebuild the church again under the power of the Spirit.
Amen.
Now rebuild the church. He's not at the headstone yet. Rebuild the church. Elijah, put the stones back where they're supposed to be. Restore fellowship. Listen, how do we set up a church? I'm sorry if we go this long, but how do we set up a church? We go read conduct, order, and doctrine. Because Zerubbabel told us how to do it. If we want to elect deacons, we go back and see and read the book, Election of Deacon. Brother Brandon, what do we do if a child is unruly? Deacons, go to the parents. You understand what I mean? Deacons are what? This is this. Pastor's supposed to do this. This one's supposed to do this. Trustee's supposed to do this. We're supposed to do this as a body. Zerubbabel has told us how to put this thing back together.
Yes.
Amen. And we're a recipient of it. Excuse me. Rebuild the church again under the power of the Spirit. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Not by organization, not by denomination, but by the Holy Spirit, God will bring forth the church in the last days. Zerubbabel. The prince with Joshua was the one that was to bring forth this headstone. He had laid the foundation. He took the people back to the foundation in type.
Amen. Amen.
Took them back. Restored the hearts of the what? Children. Babbling Pentecostal babies. To the faith of the Father. Showing them this is the way the church is supposed to act. Let's put it together like this. If we put it together like this. Brother Brandon, what do we do if somebody raises up, speaks in tongues in a service? He says, let them go first time or two because they're babies. That what he said? He said, but now if it keeps continuing to happen, I'm just paraphrasing. If it keeps continuing to happen, he said, you need to go to that person. Take a deacon to that person or take a preacher to the person and say, take them in the back room and say, hey, if you need to give a message, you need to give it now. He was putting everything back together. Because Pentecost had just want to stand up and speak in tongues. Dad and them went to a church one time where you just go in and on Wednesday night or wherever they went, everybody just kind of does this. And you waited on God to speak through somebody. What a confusion.
That's
Because you might get a woman stand up. I got a word from the Lord. That's okay. But you ain't preaching. Not in this church. Brother Brown said, no. You have a pastor. He's the head. You have deacons, elders. He put the church back together. And what my question tonight, what are we doing about it, though? Did we just say, oh, Zerubbabel, that looks pretty good. We're going somewhere else. I ain't talking about this church. I'm talking about the bride body around the world. What are we doing with it? We've been given all this material. And as we see our brothers that tell us that we don't need any teaching, like I said before, for them to say that means they have a lack of teaching. What me and Brother Claude was talking about. It's, you know, if you say, if a drunk, what's the first thing a drunk tells you? I'm not a drunk. Right? Isn't that the first? I'm not drunk. Right? How many of you had to drink tonight? 200?
None.
No? Yeah, none. How do you know? Police officer stopped you. How many of you had to drink? One?
A beer.
Right, one beer. You see what I mean? We've been given the truth.
Amen.
This frivolous thing that's going on around the world and around the message, let it shed off. It's just nothing but the adversary trying to keep you from building the temple of God. Because
right.
I promise you, when the temple of God is being built, God will come to that temple.
Amen.
That's a promise. Let's stand to our feet. God will come to that temple. Listen, He won't come to a temple that's halfway built. Did He ever say, well, now if you don't have the inner court done, I'll just come on anyway. God's not that way. God said, you put this here, you put this here. You put this color of tapestry here, you put this here. You put where the staves were from the altar, when they put, you got to put certain here. Listen, there is an order to things. Listen, we're not legalists though, but there is an order that God tells us how to build this temple. And He sent us a Zerubbabel that knew how to build one. He got everything back together. He's the head of the body, the church. That in Him, He should have all the preeminence. All the preeminence. Sing a song. Brother Bram said the headstone's yet to come.
What a fellowship.
It's here now.
What a joy divine.
Leaning the headship is here now. You can deny it all you want to.
What a blessedness.
But it's here.
Peace is mine. Leaning on
the, we'll talk about that Sunday. Leaning on Jesus. Leaning on Jesus. Safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Oh, how sweet to walk
in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Listen. God's given us the ability to build this temple. But what are we doing about it? What if they would have just said, oh well, we'll let the adversary come on in here and they'll trouble us for another 50 years. And that's what's happened for 60 years since the prophet left. We've let the adversary trouble us when we got a job to do. Let's build that temple. And go on with God. We can do it. If the headstone's here, all we gotta do is get them together. Blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning, sing it one more time. Lasting on, we're leaning.
Leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. I'm leaning. Leaning on the everlasting. trusting arms. What a fellowship.
You to help her body heal, Lord. And I pray that you'll touch her now, Lord, and be with her. And bless her, Lord. Give her childlike faith that she can believe, Lord, even more than myself. But she's come here, Lord. She's made an effort to come up here, Lord. And I pray now that you'll reward that effort with her healing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You just believe, okay? You just believe.
Safe and secure from all our arms. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this big
And we're going to bind with her, Lord. The adversary is trying to stop her from having a normal use of her hands. Now I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you'll heal our sister and you'll touch her body, Lord, and give her back strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You just believe, okay? All along, leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen. You love the Lord? He wants to give us more than we want. Well, let's reverse that. Let's take it all. Every promise of God. You know, I was reading the other day, we try to, and we do, we try to build faith up. Sure we do. But Brother Brown said, a positive mental attitude, mental, toward God's promise will bring it to pass. That's why that prostitute could walk up on that platform and just say, I believe what that man says and God will heal her. But a Christian would walk up on the platform and get in front of Brother Branham and get in front of the presence and go, I wronged my neighbor. I run out in front of this guy. All these things, the devil starts piling it on a child of God in her mind. And Brother Branham said, they not get their healing. Well, I don't want us all to be prostitutes, but we ought to come up and just say, I believe what he said.
Amen.
And say, well, no, here we go, the adversary. The adversary will come and try to destroy your whatever. Your healing, your salvation, your walk with God. But you know what? They built that temple. God's building a temple now. And he will have a building built. Whether we want it or not. Somebody is going to stand up with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other hand and say, come on. We'll fight you with one. Listen, they were fighting with one hand, putting mud on the wall in one hand. They must have been pretty good. Usually it takes a couple of hands to be. No, they did it with a trowel and one. What? They did it with the word of God. They believed in that sword they had, but they also believed they had a work to do. Now you go the same way. You go the same way believing. God's give you the word and he's give you a job to do.
That's right.
And you're standing in the middle. Hello? Are you going to accept that challenge? I pray that you do. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. Lord, I'm sorry that we kept them so long. But we've got a desire, Lord, that we all see that we do have a job to do. And that we're continuing on, Lord. Be it anything that comes what come what may, we're going to continue on, Lord, with that sword and trial. Lord, we're going to build this house of God. Satan cannot defeat it because you said he couldn't. And now I pray that what has been said tonight will go deep into the heart of the believers and that they'll believe who they are, not who they're going to be, but who they already are. That they're Christ made manifest in another form called a bride. Thank you for what you've given us, Lord, and I pray that we're looking for more to come. Lord, more people saved, healed, baptized, and all these things. Father, we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as we go tonight. Amen. Just remember, we may have a baptism this weekend. We have a couple that want to be baptized, and I'm going to try to ask one of the local Baptist churches in Gillsville to let us borrow their baptismal pool. If we do, that baptismal pool will not ever be the same, I'll promise you that. God bless you. You're dismissed. Leaning on the everlasting arms.